This is the old, old. Good morning, man. Kermit Edney with program 52 in a 260-chapter series dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen here over the past 50 years, the WHKP years. The program takes up where Fitz left off. Albino squirrels, or more accurately, white squirrels. Perhaps 30 years ago, several families that had vacationed together, who had seen each other's kids grow up, who had celebrated marriages and births within all the families, this group started the custom of giving one family to each other some little token gift of remembrance at Christmas time. As the years have gone by, you can imagine how difficult it has been to find something unique and different that the other family didn't have. Sometimes, from the Dan Waddells, the Aiken Paces, or the Bob Wilsons, it would be a gourmet food item, or a big sack full of peanuts from Eastern Carolina. One year, the Bob Foxes had been to Alaska, and they gave to each family a sealed tin can containing pannings from the gold streams in the Klondike. Each can bore a lovely label, and it pointed out there actually was gold in some percentage of the cans, and you can imagine how quickly the can openers hummed. This past Christmas, Cecil and Grace Garrett gave to each of the families a ceramic white squirrel. The year we finished this new broadcast house about 10 years ago, we experienced the phenomena of having several white, or as we call them, albino squirrels, here in the oak trees in the yard. And I remember years ago reading that Lawrence Petilla, who was 16 at that time, this was back in 1954, reported that he had been hunting with Willard Barnwell on Rattlesnake Knob on Ward Mountain in the Clear Creek section and had bagged an albino squirrel. In the article, Petilla said it was the first he'd ever seen, but he'd been told that another one had been spotted 2 years earlier. Now, at Christmas, there was enclosed with this ceramic, what I thought was an albino squirrel, a little material that explained it was a white squirrel, and that downtown Brevard is a sanctuary for a colony of these rare white squirrels that live in the inner city trees. Further, I learned that Brevard protects the squirrels with a city ordinance. Later, I was commenting to Grace about how we had placed the albino squirrel just outside on the deck where our plain old gray squirrels gather and eat all winter long. She corrected me quickly and says, "Those are not albino squirrels, they're simply white squirrels." I said, "Well, when we first moved into Broadcast House, the oak trees were full of what I thought were albinos." "No," she said, "if you look closely, you'll see that they're only white in the color of their fur. Other features common to all albinos are simply not there." Now, lately, I have seen nothing but our gray squirrels, and like our tabby cat, the gray squirrels, too, have a little brown shaded into the fur. For months, when these squirrels would first start coming, our cat would sneak over behind one of the chairs to a favorite attack spot and would make a full charge at them, and much to his chagrin, would smash into the plate glass doors. Well, at first, this would cause the squirrels to panic and scatter in all directions, and that seemed to compensate for the bruises he was experiencing. But after a while, the squirrels became aware of the fact that there was something between them and that cat, and that he was no danger to them. And when the squirrel stopped racing to escape, he finally lost interest in the attack. And so, when we feed them through the winter, the squirrels just eat away, less than a foot away from that great Kiki the cat, as he studies them intently. But just as I was beginning to think that the squirrels did possess some smarts, a real surprise. During the ice storm, the birds and the squirrels simply stayed holed up somewhere in Mother Nature. And when the storm passed through, they were all back again. We had a bowl full of hazelnuts left from Christmas, and I figured, golly, it's been days since they had eaten. I'll just share these hazelnuts with them. I sat down, expecting to enjoy watching them feed on the nuts. But would you believe, they'd pick up a nut, race across the ice, down a tree, and up under the laurel bushes where they'd bury the nuts. Now, that's weird. You were always told that squirrels bury the nuts for the bad weather in winter. I don't understand how they could classify this as being other than winter when everything was covered with ice. As I've grown older, I've come to appreciate more and more the nature that surrounds us in this beautiful city in which I was born. Had the good sense never to leave, this seventh child of a seventh child saying, "Sursum corda," as we begin the next 50 years.